You're listening to a WebYeshiva.org podcast. Visit www.webyeshiva.org to take part in our fully interactive online yeshiva. Visit blog.webyeshiva.org for more free downloadable Torah content.
Hello, this is Ilana Goldstein-Sachs of Web Yeshiva with this week's Tehillim podcast. This week we're going to take a look at Tehillim Kuf Vav. Tehillim Kuf Vav is one of the historical Mizmorei Tehillim, by which I mean that it is a mizmor which recounts historical events which are mentioned elsewhere in the Tanakh. In this particular case, the events that occur in the Torah itself and at the beginning of the post-Torah books in Yoshua and Shoftim. The mizmor opens, Hallelujah, hodu l'Hashem ki tov, ki le'olam chasto. Right? It's praising Hashem. Right, because Hashem is good, right? His chesed is everlasting, right? So we see already from the first pasuk that this is not your typical history lesson, right? We're not here simply in order to learn what it is that happened in the past, but rather there is a purpose to the mizmor, and it has something to do with praising Hashem for his chesed, for his everlasting kindness to presumably Am Yisrael. Mi malel gvurot Hashem yashmia kol tehilato, right? Pasuk bet made famous. Mostly by a Hanukkah song, right? But this is the original source. Mi yemalel gvurot Hashem, right? Who can tell of the great deeds, the heroic deeds of Hashem, right? Who is able to tell of all of the glorious things that he has done? Right? In other words, the pasuk being rhetorical, it's impossible, right? It isn't possible for a person to recount all of these wonderful things that Hashem has done. Ashrei shomrei mishpat osei tzedaka v'cholet. Right now we turn to a general comment about Am Yisrael, or what Am Yisrael should be, right? Ashrei shomrei mishpat, praising those people who are shomrei mishpat, who do justice, right? Who would do what they are supposed to do? Oset tzedaka b'chol et, right? Who uphold righteousness at all times? Zachreini Hashem b'ritzon amecha pokdeni b'yeshuatecha. Lirot b'tovat b'chirecha lismoch b'simchat goyecha l'hitalel im nachalatecha. Right. So the Mishorer now turns to Hashem and says, right? Remember me when when you remember for good your nation, your people, Am Yisrael, remember me for Yeshua, for salvation, right? When you see the good of Bechirecha, your chosen people, then you should count me in, right? I want to be there when the salvation of Am Yisrael occurs. Okay, very nice, right? So we're talking about first the greatness and the chesed that Hashem has done for Am Yisrael always in the past, a word of praise in Pasuk Gimel for all those who do mishpat and tzedakah, right? A comment of what Am Yisrael is meant to be, right? And then the person saying, I want to be part of the salvation for Am Yisrael, right? So it sounds like, right, Am Yisrael, they're people who do good. Hashem is constantly doing chesed for them, and the Mishoreh wants to make sure that he is part. He prays that he will be part of whatever salvation comes to God's chosen people. Fine. That makes plenty of sense. And then you continue with the mizmor. Vav, chatanu im avotecha he'evinu hirshanu. Right? In words that evoke the vidui of Yom Kippur, and indeed there are some who say that this mizmor is some sort of very ancient form of a vidui, right? Of a confession. A sort of confession prayer that might have been said on Yom Kippur or some other day where confession was in place, and the pasuk is saying, right, we have sinned with our forefathers, he'evinu hirshanu, we have done wrong. And then from pasuk zayin through pasuk Lamed Gimel, right? That's 26 psukim. There is then a long listing of all the chataim that Am Yisrael did from the time that they left Mitzrayim, right, all the way through the beginning of the period of Am Yisrael dwelling in Eretz Yisrael. We will look at that list in a moment. And then at the end of the Mizmor, the Mishorer returns once more to face Hashem and pray, Hoshienu Hashem Eloheinu v'kabtzeinu min hagoyim, right? Praying to Hashem that Hashem should save us, should send salvation and bring us, gather us in from the nations. L'hodot l'shem kodshecha, in order that we should praise your holy name. U'lehishtabech b'tehilatecha, right? Again, to praise Hashem and His glory. What I would like to do is to see what is the flow of this mizmor, right? We see the beginning and the end, the request that Hashem continue basically the salvation of Am Yisrael, and that the Mishorer would like to be part of that, and again a return to that at the end, a prayer that Hashem should come and redeem Am Yisrael. In the middle, however, we have this vidui. We have this long list of all the chataim that Am Yisrael has done, and I would like to understand what is the connection between the frame of this mizmor, right? The idea that Hashem is always kind, and that the Mishorer would like to be a recipient of that kindness, and this long list of chataim in the middle. Now, the chataim that are mentioned in these 26 psukim of the vidui are things that are familiar to us, right? These are all the stories of the main chataim of Am Yisrael in that early part of its history. Right, so it starts, for example, with the fact that already in Mitzrayim, Am Yisrael did not recognize the great miracles that were done for them, and then continues on to the rebellion of Am Yisrael at the Red Sea, right, when they didn't believe that Hashem would be able to save them and help them cross the Red Sea. It continues on to the story of Bnei Yisrael desiring meat, and then Hashem sends them meat, which ends up being a sort of punishment for them, right? The story of Kivrot HaTava. Then we have the story of Datan v'Aviram, which we generally are more familiar with in terms of being the story of Korach v'Adato, but Datan v'Aviram were two of the main players in that story, together with Korach, who sort of rebelled against Moshe and Aaron and questioned their authority, right? Question that they should be the leaders of Am Yisrael. We then go on to the story of Chet HaEgel, right? The golden calf, which was made at Har Sinai. Then we go on to Chet HaMeraglim, where the people did not want to enter Eretz Yisrael. Baal Peor, right? When Bnei Yisrael turning once again to idolatry and worshipping a foreign god. We then have the story of Mei Merivah, the story of Moshe, where he hit the rock instead of speaking to the rock, which ended up causing Moshe not to be able to enter Eretz Yisrael. And then, finally, the end of the list, you have the three chataim that Am Yisrael did once they were already in Eretz Yisrael, right? That being that they intermingled with the Canaanim, that they worshipped the gods of the Canaanim, and that they would bring human korbanot, right? They would bring their children as korbanot. Right? And this is the list. Now, one of the things that is often pointed out about this list, both by classical and modern commentaries alike, is that the list is not in the order that they are told in the Torah or in the Tanakh. Right, obviously, first they have the chataim of things that happened in the desert, and then the things that happened once they entered Eretz Yisrael. So in that sense, it's chronological. But if you look at the list of the chataim that are of the chataim of the desert years itself, there the order is not according to chronology. Right, so for example, right after the story of Yamsuf, you have the story of Kivrot HaTava. Right, which doesn't happen actually until later on in Sefer Bamidbar. For example, then the one of the most obvious, most blatant examples is that right after the story of Kivrot HaTavah, it talks about Mered Korach, or again, the emphasis being in this mizmor on Datan va'Aviram, and only afterwards it talks about Chet HaEgel, right? And again, we know that Chet HaEgel happened in Sefer Shmot, right? Not too long after the story of Yitzhak Mitzrayim and the initial stories of what happened in the desert, whereas the story of Korach, Datan va'Aviram, that happens again later on in Sefer Bamidbar after Chet HaMeraglim. Which is also right in Sefer Bamidbar, right? And here once again we see a lack of chronology where the story of Chet HaMeraglim, right, the refusal of Am Yisrael to go into Eretz Yisrael, is also out of order because it is written after Datan Vaviram and after Chet HaEgel, which again is not the order in which it actually occurred, right? So you know different commentaries, depending on their general worldview, have different things to say about this lack of chronology. One very simple way to understand why the things are not written in chronological order is very simply is that we're talking about a poem, right? As we know, Sefer Tehillim is not a history book, right? You could say that the Torah is not a history book either, but it is true that to a large degree, the order of the events that that are written in the Torah are in chronological order, even if history is not the only purpose of the book. But Tehillim, right? The Mizmorei Tehillim are much more so a poem, right? Expressing of an idea, of a feeling, of some sort of thought by way of a poem. In poetry, as we know, right? Even without looking at the world of poetry in general, but looking just within biblical poetry, the rules of poetry are different than the rules of prose. And so, who says that when the Mishorer of Mizmor Kuf Vav wanted to express all of the various things that Am Yisrael did wrong in the desert, there was any reason that the Mishorer had to say it in chronological order. Right? So that was one very simple way to understand why it would be written in this way. The question that still remains, of course, is, well, but then why is it written the way that it is? Because if the rules of poetry are different, that's certainly true. But nevertheless, usually when a poet puts words down on paper, there is some sort of logic. There is some reason of why certain things are juxtaposed. And so what I'd like to do now is to try to center on just one of the events that are told in this list of Chataim of Am Yisrael. We wouldn't have time to go into every single one. And I've chosen for today to concentrate mostly on the telling of Chet HaEgel. The reason for that, of course, being that this week is Shabbat Parashat Ki Tisa, right, where we read about Chet HaEgel. So let's look now at the psukim of Chet HaEgel. First, just to see very briefly how Chet HaEgel is described, and then to try to understand its placement within this list of the sins of Am Yisrael in the desert. The reference to Chet HaEgel is in our Mizmor from Pasuk Yutet to Pasuk Kaf Gimel. Ya'asu Egel b'chorev, they made an Egel, a calf, in Chorev. Chorev, of course, being the alternate name for Sinai in the Torah as well. Vayishtachavu lemasecha, right, and they bow down to a masecha. Masecha means molten, right? When you make something out of melted metal that then hardens into some sort of form, right? In the story in the Torah itself, the calf is referred to egel masecha. Here in the poetic form of the mizmor, right, the egel and the masecha are separated. Yasu egel bechorev, parallel to vayishtachavu lemasecha. Vayamiru et kevodam. B'tavnit shor ochel esev. Right here, right, one hears the dripping contempt of the Mishorer for what Am Yisrael did. They exchanged vayamiru, right? They exchanged. The same word, interestingly, is used also like to convert, right, to change over from one thing to another. They exchanged kvodam, right, that to which they were supposed to give kavod, b'tavnit shor, ochel esev. What did they, meaning, kvodam meaning, of course, Hashem, they exchanged him for what? For the image of an ox, a grass-eating ox. Right. If you look at the classical Mefarshim in this pasuk, they will have lovely, long descriptions of what exactly happens when an ox is eating grass. The bodily functions that occur afterwards. Right, trying to emphasize right the lowliness, the disgustingness of this ox, which they chose over Hashem. Shachachu el Moshiam, they forgot the God who had saved them, who had redeemed them from Egypt. Ose gedolot b'Mitzrayim, the one who did all those great things for them in Mitzrayim. Niflaot be'eretz cham, noraot al yam suf. Right, they forgot the God who had done all of the wonders for them in the land of Cham. Right, Cham being, of course, the ancestor of Mitzrayim. Noraot al yam suf, all of the terrible, awesome deeds that he did, that Hashem did for them on Yam Suf. Right, so the emphasis here, right, what is the essence of what they did wrong, of what Am Yisrael did wrong with Chayta Ega? The emphasis so much here isn't on the idolatry, which of course is a problem, right? The pasuk says, right, that they exchanged an image of a shore for God, but what seems to be more of an emphasis here is the lack of recognition of what Hashem did, right? The ingratefulness, right, for all the wonderful things that Hashem had done for them. Vayomer lahashmidam, right? Hashem decided to destroy them right then and there. Lule Moshe bechiro amad beperetz lefanav lahashiv chamato mehashchit. If it hadn't been for Moshe Rabbeinu, who prayed to Hashem, please not destroy his people, right? Give them another chance, right? That would have been the end of Jewish history right then and there. Right? Only because Moshe prayed for Am Yisrael were we not destroyed immediately after Chet Ha'Ega. Now, this idea of the lack of gratitude on the part of Am Yisrael, right, is actually a theme which you see throughout the long list of chataim, the long list of sins of Bnei Yisrael in this period of their history. So, for example, if you go back to the list, right, the very first thing that is mentioned, Avotenu b'Mitzrayim lo hiskilu niflotecha, lo zachru et rov chasadecha. Already when they were still in Egypt, right? We haven't yet left Egypt. We are still there, but they already have not appreciated the wonders that Hashem did for them in Mitzrayim, meaning that the makot, right, the 10 plagues that were done in Egypt, fully appreciated. They did not lo zachru et rov chasadecha. They didn't from the beginning, right? They didn't recall all of the kindness that Hashem did for them there. Vayamru al yamsuf al yam bi yamsuf, right? And that is why the fact that they didn't remember or appreciate what Hashem did for them in Egypt, that they were already rebelling when they got to Yam Suf, to the Red Sea, right? So that the reason that they were rebelling so early, right? And of course, everybody points this out when reading the story. How could it be that they're rebelling after all the wonderful things that they just saw? Was because, according to this Mizmor, they were never fully appreciated. It didn't get absorbed into their consciousness. But the Mizmor says, "Vayoshiem leman shmo lahodia et gvurato." Right, Hashem did it anyway. Why? Not because they deserved it, right? Because he wanted to show his gvura, to show the greatness of the things that he could do, right? So that his name would be remembered for these great things that he had done. Vayigar b'yam suf vayecherav, right? It's a very poetically, colorfully describing Yam Suf, the splitting of Yam Suf, that Hashem gets angry at Yam Suf and it dried up, right? And that vayolichem b'tehomot kamidbar. Right, they went through the waters, the deeps of the waters, as if it was a desert. Vayoshie miyad sonevi galim miyad oyev. Right, they, Hashem saved them from this enemy from Egypt. Vayechasu maim tsarehem. Right, the waters covered up the enemy. Right, again, very poetically here. Vayechasu maim tsarehem. The waters covered up their enemies, but the words maim tsarehem, even if you look at them, the words. Sound very much like Mitzrayim. Vayechasu Mitzrayim. Vayechasu Maim Tzarehem. Echad mehem lo notar. Nobody was left. Right? Wondrous things that Hashem did for Am Yisrael. Vayaminu vidvarav. Yashiru tehilato. Right? Am Yisrael is all grateful and they sing, right? Shirat Hayam. Pasuk Yud Gimel. Miharu shachachu ma'asav. Lochi kulatzato. Right? But that was very short-lived. Right? They sang and they praised and they were grateful, but it didn't last very long. Right, they desired all sorts of things, meat in the desert, and they tested God. Right, and He gives them what they wanted. Right, but it ends up being, you know, a sort of punishment for them. Right, so we see already the theme already from the beginning of the list, and this continues further. Right, that it's this cycle of Hashem doing wonderful things for them, right? And Bnei Yisrael appreciating it perhaps for but a moment, but then, you know, forgetting about it very quickly. And yet Hashem keeps on saving them, even though they don't necessarily deserve it. All right, and the next thing on the list, right, which is the last one before we get back to Chet HaEgel, is the story of Datan v'Aviram. Again, more famously known as the story of Mered Korach, Vayikanu leMoshe b'machaneh l'Aharon kedosh Hashem. Right, they were jealous of Moshe and Aharon. Right, this is the story where the legitimacy of the leadership of Moshe and Aharon is called into question. Right, and that's the story of Korach and Datan v'Aviram. Right, a fascinating story in and of itself, which we obviously don't have time to go into in detail here as to what exactly each of the members of that group. Was actually fighting for or fighting against, but generally speaking, right, they were calling into question the leadership of Moshe and Aaron. Tiftach eretz v'tivla datan v'tichas et adat aviram v'tivar esh ba'adatam lehava t'lahet v'shaim. Right, referring to the punishments in that story of the ground swallowing them up and the fire coming and burning them. Right, so that's the story of Datan v'Aviram. And then we go straight into Ya'asu Egel Bechore v'Yishtachavu L'Masecha, the story of Chet HaEgel. Right? Again, right, as I mentioned earlier, there's no reason to say that the Mishorer here was in any way obligated to tell these chataim in order, right? We can appreciate the long list, and that is really what's the point here. The long list and the continued lack of gratitude on the part of Am Yisrael without it being in chronological order. And yet, right, we wonder why the order is the way that it is, right? So now that we've seen the mention of Chet HaEgel in some sort of context, I'd like to concentrate a little bit, just an idea or two, as to what exactly the reasoning of the rationale of the order is in this particular case. So one possibility. This doesn't really talk so much about the order, but it does give some sort of understanding of what is going on here. Is that we've seen this theme here already of Bnei Yisrael being the recipient of Chesed on the part of Hashem. Them not appreciating it, Hashem doing it anyway, right? And then at a certain point, Hashem kind of getting sick of it. And then as we saw at the end of the story of Chet HaEgel, kind of Moshe stepping in to keep the process going along, right? At one point, Hashem says, this is it, I've had enough. I'm tired of this already. And Moshe steps in and it keeps the process going along, right? So you could say that at a spread of intervals, this idea is put in. We see it again later on in some psukim that we haven't read, right, after it talks about Chet HaMiraglim and then Baal Peor, right, there's the idea of Pinchas doing a similar thing. The Hashem sends a magifa, Vaya'amod Pinchas v'yipalel v'teyatzer ha-magifa. Right, that Pinchas is the one who prays, right, at that next stage, and the magifa is stopped because Pinchas Pinchas prayed. So one could say that at certain intervals, right, we have this idea of a holy individual stepping in and kind of continuing this process of chesed. Perhaps, and this continues on also in terms of when Bnei Israel are in Eretz Israel. Here it's not so much described in terms of another person, but that Hashem himself remembers his promise to Am Yisrael, the brit with Am Yisrael, and therefore he, Hashem, decides without the intervention of a human being to have compassion on Am Yisrael. And one could possibly say that the Mishorer himself is one of these individuals, right, who is stepping in and saying to Hashem, you know, please continue in this way, right? And that was at the beginning of the Mizmor, and then again at the end of the Mizmor, Hoshienu Hashem Eloheinu v'kabtzeinu min hagoyim. L'hodot l'shem kachach l'shtabeach b'tilatecha. So, right, so we see at regular intervals, or somewhat regular intervals throughout the Mizmor, the idea of a sudden remembering, Hashem, please continue in their doing of chesed. And so this first one is of Moshe, and it's placed here where it is because I guess maybe the Mishorer felt this was like the appropriate interval at which to put it in. Right, so that's one possible reason why perhaps the story of Chet HaEgel appears where it appears, because this was the moment where the Mishorer felt it was appropriate to stick in that idea of Moshe stepping in and praying for Am Yisrael. The Malbim also contemplating why Chet HaEgel is where it is, connects the mention of Chet HaEgel to what comes immediately before it. And he points out something interesting. He says that the mention of Chet HaEgel at this particular moment comes to emphasize the nature of the sin of the Tan V'Aviram, which is mentioned right before. Why? Because there, in the story of Korach and Datan v'Aviram, right, again, what is the chait? That they're calling into question the legitimacy of the leadership of Moshe and Aaron, right? They say, Kol ha'am kulam kedoshim, everybody is holy, we're all holy, why do we need you? Why do we need you as an intermediary between us and Hashem, right? And he said, and the Malbim says, how ironic is this? Because we know that in the story of Chet HaEgel, right, how did the whole incident of Chet HaEgel begin? Because Moshe was late in coming down from Har Sinai, and the people were all nervous, right? How could we continue without having our leader Moshe, right? And so they create the Egel to be that intermediary that was now missing for them, right? So according to the Malbim, that's why these two stories are juxtaposed, right? It's bad enough that they were doubting the legitimacy of Moshe and Aaron, but the irony of it, right, that just a few chataim earlier, right, they were doing the exact opposite. They were claiming they couldn't continue without the same exact intermediary. And so according to the Malbim, it emphasizes the nature of that chait. Keeping more within the theme of what the Mizmor itself is talking about, this idea of the lack of gratitude of Am Yisrael throughout this early part of their history, I thought that perhaps there's another reason why the mention of Chet HaEgel comes after the mention of the Chet of Datan V'Aviram. Again, right, as we mentioned a few times already, Datan V'Aviram's complaint was that they didn't agree to Moshe and Aaron's leadership. They did not see their leadership as legitimate, right? And that was that chait, right? And that's what's mentioned first. And then we have the mention of Chet HaEgel. Now clearly, right, the mention of Chet HaEgel is in and of itself an important, perhaps one of the most important of and central of the various sins of Am Yisrael in the desert. So clearly it's there in its own right. But the irony of the juxtaposition between the Chet of Datan V'Aviram and the Chet HaEgel is seen when one remembers the very last point that is mentioned in Chet HaEgel, in this Mizmor, which is what again? That, what happened in Chet HaEgel? In Chet HaEgel, the sin was so great that Hashem was ready to destroy them. And had it not been for Moshe Rabbeinu, their leader, who stepped in and requested from Hashem that they not be destroyed, they would have been destroyed. Right? So this emphasizes, the juxtaposition between these two stories emphasizes the lack of gratitude of Am Yisrael. Right? Not only did Datan Vaviram and that whole crew doubt Moshe's legitimacy as the leader, but they forgot. They forgot that that if it weren't for Moshe, that they wouldn't be there at all, right? That not only do they not have a right to doubt Moshe's legitimacy because he was the chosen of Hashem, and that's really what the story is all about, right? Proving that he was indeed the chosen of Hashem and he didn't just take power on his own. But even beyond that, the story just shows how much they didn't appreciate everything that Moshe had done for them, right? And perhaps that's why these two stories are told in this order, right? It tells of the chet, of the lack of the story of the rebellion against Moshe and Aaron, and then the coming of the story of Chet HaEgel afterwards emphasizes, again, the recurring theme of lack of gratitude, that the Tam Vaviram were so lacking in gratitude, along together with the rest of Am Yisrael, that they didn't appreciate everything that Moshe had done for them. So what we see here, right, is a further emphasis of this idea of the lack of gratitude. Now, for most of the Mizmor, the lack of gratitude, of course, is towards Hashem. But here we see another layer of their lack of gratitude. They don't have gratitude for anybody, right? This problem is pervasive throughout everything with Am Yisrael, and not only the relationship with Hashem, but also with the relationship with Moshe. And of course, the relationship with Moshe and the relationship with Hashem being, of course, tied together. And I think that the juxtaposition of these two stories just emphasizes that even more. It occurred to me, you know, when reading through this Mizmor, that I think that if I was choosing for myself a lawyer, I might not choose the Mishorer of this particular Mizmor, because what is the Mishorer saying? I want you, Hashem, to remember me when you save Am Yisrael, right? When the redemption for Am Yisrael comes, count me in. I want to be part of it. And then, right, we have these 26 psukim of saying all the terrible things that Am Yisrael has done and how they don't appreciate Hashem. And so one sits back and wonders, like, what is the purpose of that? Like, why would the Mishorer bring this up, right? If you want to be part of the salvation of Am Yisrael, why don't we just, like, brush that all under the rug and try not to remember all the bad things that do other, rather try to remember all the reasons that Hashem should save Am Yisrael, like conjure up a few good stories about Am Yisrael to kind of, like, you know, bring the redemption a little quicker. But it seems that actually is not the point of what the Mishorer is saying here. The Mishorer is saying, turning to Hashem and saying, Hashem, right, as we see in the first pasuk, right, Hashem, you are the doer of chesed for Am Yisrael. Hodu l'Hashem ki tov ki le'olam chasdo. Right? You will redeem Am Yisrael, and I want to be part of that. But why will you redeem Am Yisrael? Not because we deserve it, right? But because of your chesed, right? And we see that throughout history, that over and over and over again, you redeemed us, and you saved us, and you helped us, even though we didn't really deserve it. Right, and so I'd like to be part of that. Right, when you continue in this ongoing line string of chesed that you do for us, remember me. Right, even if I may not be deserving of it, count me in. I would like to be part of that. But it could be that the Mishorer is saying, and maybe even I have a better chance because maybe I'm not quite like them. Right, maybe we've changed. Maybe Am Yisrael has turned slightly towards being slightly better in this regard. Right, pasuk, as we saw in pasuk Gimel, Ashrei Shomrei Mishpat Oseh Tzedakah B'chol Eitz. Right, I recognize, right, who are the ones who are praiseworthy, the ones who do what they're supposed to do, who do Mishpat, who do Tzedakah, at all times. And then at the very end of the Mizmor, Hoshienu Hashem Eloheinu V'Kabtzenu Mina Goyim, right, redeem us, gather us in from the nations. Why? Lehodot l'shem kodshecha u'lishtabech b'tehilatecha. In order that we can praise we can praise you. We can sing of all of your great deeds, right? We are no longer like that, the Mishorer is saying. We are no longer these ungrateful people who don't recognize all the things that you have done. We've come around, right? And so even more so, right, redeem us, and the Mishorer personally saying, and please include me in that redemption. Shabbat shalom. Umivarach.